The goodness of God, that's an all-day conversation. Could be all day talking about that. Thank you, Caitlin, for your beautiful song. Amen. Good morning, everybody, to those in person and those online. Before we continue with today's message, if we can please bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, you are good. You are so good, Lord. We come here again on another Sunday, Lord, to thank you for what you did for us on the cross. That you saved all those who cried out to you at a moment in their lives for salvation. You said yes, Lord. And so we come here to honor and praise you, Lord. That's why we come. That's the only reason why we come, to praise you, Lord Jesus. And then we gather the second half to hear a song of praise, as Caitlin just sang for you, Lord. And then hear a message. Doesn't matter who's up here. We're just empty vessels, Lord. You always give the message. It's what you want said for this Sunday. And so, Lord, I ask for your help, your guidance, that this message would be clear. That would be a blessing to all those that hear it, Lord. It is your words, it's your thoughts that you want. And we pray, Lord, for anybody in our midst who's online or here today that has yet given their lives to you. We always pray for salvation, Lord, that eyes and ears would be open to your wonderful salvation, so that every single person in this room would know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And so we ask for your help today, your blessings, as we share from your word. We praise you and we love you. In your most precious name we pray, amen. Amen. So this is going to be a quick message, Adel, which you may like. See, I had to go home and pack. One of the families that's going camping. See if we can just squeeze one more thing into the car. It's for my daughters and my wife. Sometimes I feel like we're packing for eternity instead of a week, but camping's a lot of fun. But before the fun begins, there's one thing that our family always does when we arrive. So we have a cabin, like other families are coming. Some have a tent or are going that route. But we have a cabin, and the first thing that we do is when we get access to our cabin is we don't unpack the car. The first thing we do is we go into the cabin to make sure there's nothing there that should not be there. You never know what you may find. I'm particularly talking about those eight-legged creatures called spiders. You see, I don't like spiders. I don't get along with spiders. So if I see one, well, I'm the tough guy that I am. I usually let Caitlin take care of it. But if the spider's really big, I'll just yell across the roadway for Jeff Murray to come. Jeff's not here today, but Jeff and spiders are friends. And so Jeff's cabin's usually right across from mine. So Jeff, you're not here. I think he's online, and he's not feeling good today. So I hope he feels better, but if there's a big spider and Jeff's not there, I'm going to have to man up and take care of it myself. So pray for me. But despite the spiders, camping's always a blessing. It's a time to get away, to enjoy good food, have fun, and fellowship. And one thing that our family does, and I know other families do the same, is we pray for our trip. We pray for safety, for health, for fun. We ask the Lord to help us to be a blessing to each other in our conversations, as we share a meal, as we spend time together. We pray that we should reflect Jesus and build each other up. But that should be our prayer every day, whether you're going camping or not. That our words and our actions should reflect Him, especially during challenging times. We are called to be a people who point others to Jesus. When you think about it, that's what Jesus does all the time. He always points us to Himself, doesn't He? No matter the situation, no matter the need. We come to church on Sunday mornings, and the first thing we see is the crosses behind us. That points to Jesus. That's why I love the Bible, because the Bible always points to Jesus, always points to our God. Powerful stories that show God's protection, power, and faithfulness to His people. Stories that are uplifting and encouraging reminders to keep our focus on Him. Sometimes I think in heaven there's going to be a movie theater. We've all been to the movies. We've seen big action movies on the big screen. But you know what I would love to see? And I think others have had the same thought. You go to heaven one day and there's a movie theater with a big screen and you can see the true stories of the Bible play out in front of your eyes. To see exactly what happened. Wouldn't that be amazing to see? A couple examples of my favorite. Noah building the ark. Can you imagine seeing Noah building the ark? And then watching how the God shut him and his family and the animals inside and then seeing the rain come down. Or perhaps seeing the real life stories of the victories in the Bible, seeing how God moved the Red Sea and parted it. Seeing Jesus with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, what a sight would that to see all of us we would love to see. You go to the New Testament, you know what I love to see? Hearing the angels sing while Jesus' birth is announced to the shepherds at night. That would be beautiful to see. Or perhaps seeing Jesus as a baby. I got to see my great-nephew the other day on Monday. We have a new baby in the family. Can you imagine seeing Jesus as a baby, the real-life footage? That'd be amazing. Or watching Jesus in his ministry as he feeds the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Seeing him raise the dead, healing the sick. Seeing the stone actually being rolled away on resurrection morning. Well, I can go on and on. For today's message, I'm going to share with you with one of the stories that I would love to see on the big screen in heaven. It's the story of Elijah and his servant in 2 Kings chapter 6, 8 through 18. Before I read the scripture, the title of my message today is "Do not look at the hills of this world, but look to the hills of heaven." And here are my 3 points. 1, Jesus always points us to him. 2, may we point people to him. And 3, may we be confident in him. So before I read the story, a little background of the situation and those involved. This is a very popular story. We haven't read it in a while in a Sunday message, so I thought it was time that we should read it again. So it involves Elijah the prophet, whose name means God is salvation. He was the successor of Elijah the prophet, his protege. And when Elijah was taken up to heaven, Elijah took over in his ministry, which lasted about 60 years. The story involves King Aram and his army, the enemy of Israel, and it involves Elijah's servant. The story, if you know it, Israel was at war with King Aram and his army. And the Lord used Elijah to repeatedly warn the king of Israel about the movements of the king of Aram. Time and after time, his warnings proved correct, essentially guiding Israel's defense against King Aram's military strategy. So King Aram discovered this, and he asked if there was a traitor among his midst, and his official says, "No, it's Elijah." So the king Aram says, "Well, I'll send my army to capture him." At least so he thought. He thought he could flex his muscles and capture God's anointed. But let's read the story. 2 Kings chapter 6, 8 through 18. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elijah warned the king so that he was on guard in such places. This enraged King Aram. He summoned his officials and demanded them, "Tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel." "None of us, my lord, the king," said one of his officers. "But Elijah the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Do not be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. As the enemy came down toward them, Elijah prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked. What a beautiful story. I think a favorite for many in this room. We know from the rest of the story, after Elijah asked God to strike them with blindness, he leads the army directly into the Israelite capital of Samaria. Could have killed them all. No mercy. Instead, he had mercy. He told the king of Israel to feed them and then sent them home. This strategic act of mercy ends their raids for the moment. 2 Kings chapter 6, 8 through 18. It illustrates God's sovereign protection of Elijah against King Aram and his army, highlighting the contrast between fearful human sight, and faithful spiritual vision. There's a big difference between those two. Elijah's servant was terrified by the army. He has his eyes open to see the celestial chariots of fire around them, demonstrating that God's invisible resources are greater than any earthly threat. God's invisible resources are greater than any earthly threat that we face. And this brings me to my first point. Jesus always points us to him. There are times when we are like the servant. We've been there before, we may be there now, and we'll be there again in the future. We're living life, going to church, serving the Lord, and suddenly the enemy attacks. If I ask you to raise your hand, you know what I'm talking about. He does not care about your age, your status, where you live, what you have. All you need to know is this fact, that Satan knows, the enemy knows that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and you are a child of God. You are his enemy. He uses our fears to come against us through work, finances, health, our family. The burdens come, the trials weigh on us. We go to bed thinking about them, wake up in the middle of the night thinking about them, or the first thing on our minds in the morning. Have you been there? That's happened to me recently. I go to bed thinking about something. I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm thinking about it. And I wake up in the morning, and it's the first thing on my mind. Because we get attacked, don't we? You see, there are two ingredients that are a recipe for disaster in the Christian life, and we know these very well. One's Satan, and one's our flesh. When the enemy attacks combined with how our flesh responds, it's disaster. Right? We can try to handle the situation on our own. We give in to fear. We begin to agree with the enemy because he's crafty. We rely on our own understanding instead of the Lord. Our minds go astray. We focus on the enemy who is on the hills of this world instead of looking past those hills and focusing on who is on the hills of heaven. When we focus on the hills of this world, we end up defeated. We all know what it feels like to be defeated. But unfortunately, Christians can live their lives this way. We can live like a defeated Christian instead of one who's living victorious. See, the servant was afraid, and that was understandable because we've all been there. But what did he do? He turned to Elijah for an answer. He cried out to him. See, Elijah is the Christ-like figure of the story. Elijah prayed, and the servant's eyes were opened to see a sight that would give us all goosebumps. Elijah encouraged the servant not to be afraid. Remind him who is with them. He pointed the servant to God's army. Don't look at King Aram and his army. Look up. This is what Jesus does for believers. He tells us not to be afraid. He reminds us that he's with us. He points us to himself. Through his word. That's why we always say read his word. Through time in prayer. Doesn't God speak to you in your time of prayer? If you quiet your heart before him. God points himself through godly people. If you have godly people in your life, cling to them. We need to take off our worldly perspective glasses. Everybody has sunglasses or glasses. Take those off and put on spiritual glasses. We know the Lord calls us not to fix our eyes on our problems around us, but to lift our eyes to him, to the heavens, where our help truly comes from. He's always the answer. And the fact is, the Lord is more powerful than any enemy that you have. Whether it's Satan who comes by and whispers in your ears, whether it's the ungodly in your life, because the ungodly, you'll be attacked by people in the world. The Lord is more powerful than your trials. He's more powerful than your own weakness and insecurities. I got weakness and insecurities, and sometimes they can cripple me. God says, I'm stronger than those, Rick. We have everything in Jesus to live a victorious life, and so I'm grateful that Jesus always points us to Him. Amen? My second point, may we point people to Him. May we point people to Him. There are times in our life where the Lord calls us to be like an Elijah for someone. Simply be like Jesus. You know, I'm so thankful for the way the Lord has shown me through my life to look to Him when I've been in the servant's shoes. I see an enemy he's attacking, I'm stressed, I'm afraid, my faith is weak. But during these challenging times, I'm also thankful for the godly people He's used in my life who have pointed me to Jesus. The Elijahs in our life. The truth is, we all can be an Elijah. If we are willing, if you answer the call, if we show our desire through prayer, asking Him to use us. If you want to be used by God, you got to pray about it. You got to really spend time on your knees. It's not just a nonchalant prayer here and there. You have to pray hard. Show the Lord you want to be used. Lord, can use all of us if we're striving to live a holy life, one that is close to our Savior, one that is sensitive to the guidance of His Spirit. So let us be this way in all of our relationships, whether it's a spouse, children, our friends, our family, or our brothers and sisters in Christ. When the moment is needed, point others to Jesus. Say an encouraging word. Share an encouraging verse. Listen with love and compassion. Not only with just words, but through actions as the Lord guides you. Be this way to those in your life who don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Point people to Him for salvation. Dave and I were talking about that earlier today. Dave was witnessing to somebody. And Dave was sensitive to the Spirit. The way he talked to this man was using the right words at the right time, Dave. We talked about that. Pray for opportunities. Pray for the right words. Be loving and caring in your delivery. Sometimes Christians have a way they want to witness, but sometimes that's how God wants you to speak at that moment. You've got to have your spiritual glasses on to use the right words at the right time, because that will touch the person. Just as Jesus has pointed us to Him when it has been needed, we have a calling to do the same for others. May the Lord use all of us to point people to Him. Amen. My last point today, may we be confident in Him. This one really hit me hard because of what I've been kind of going through lately at work. Confidence means the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something. It is firm trust. Let me ask you a question today. Based on what's been shared so far, the scripture read, thinking about your own personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that all that He's done for you, how can we not be confident in Him? I am guilty of times of lacking faith, focusing my confidence on how I feel, what I think, what I physically can see. And when I do, I gotta admit, I'm miserable. Joy, peace, and praise leave my spirit. And it's replaced with anxiety, doubt, and complaining. Think about that for a second. You could relate to that. Joy, peace, and praise will leave your spirit when you focus your confidence on yourself or your circumstances. And it's replaced with anxiety, doubt, and complaining. I hate those words, but I felt all of them. And I'm a great complainer. No one laugh, but it's true. We're all good at complaining, if you admit it. A couple weeks ago, we had a two-day work offsite. And work is having a lot of changes. And I have to admit, I was stressed about going. And I was just driving to the offsite. I was driving toward the hills. And this message was already on my heart. And Lord said to me, Rick, the reason why you're so stressed, because you're looking at the hills of this world. You really are. The Lord reminded me, Rick, you need to look past these hills you see in front of you. Look at the hills of heaven. That's where I am. That's where my army is. I'm above the hills of this world, and they have no power over me. That gave me what I needed to get through the two-day work offsite. But I needed it. I have no excuse not to be confident in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you are honest with yourself, neither do you. Neither do you. It's a true fact. May we have confidence in our Lord. I have two more portions of scripture that came to mind that reminded me that we should have confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ. Two popular sections of scripture. The first portion of scripture reveals God's love for his people, his care for his people, assuring us that we belong to him and that nothing can come into a life of a believer apart from his permissive will. And also speaks to the powerful truth of our eternal security in him. And when I read the portion of scripture, you'll hear these points sprinkled throughout. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. When you need confidence, think about this portion of scripture. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over you, will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. And my last scripture today, another short verse, but it speaks to that we have overcome the world. The power of Jesus living within us, the Holy Spirit, is far stronger than any attack that we have. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. I love this verse because John is assuring his believers, to the believers, because he was speaking about false teachers in the verses prior to this verse. Listen to the words of comfort. I think many know this one by heart. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. We need that, don't we? We need these verses bad in our life. But like the psalm that I read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 that I read, it speaks that we are the Lord's. We are the Lord's. And he's always in control of our situation. But that's why God gives us his word, doesn't he? Because he wants us to focus on him, on his principles, his ways. Listen to what he says to help you. So as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, when the hills of this world overwhelm you, remember Jesus is always pointing us to him in our time of need. Let us not forget that. Let us cling to that. Live a life always looking at Jesus. Don't suffer alone. We do that sometimes. Don't listen to the enemy. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to your own mind. Don't go on the internet and find the solution. Right? Don't listen to your neighbor who has no godly spiritual advice. Some people listen to their neighbors and fine, listen to them for some stuff, but for spiritual advice, people do that. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift your eyes up to the hills of heaven. And when the hills of this world overwhelm those around us, be like an Elijah. Answer the call. Pray about it. Point people to Jesus in their time of need. Pray to be this type of Christian. And as a body here at San Ramon Valley Bible Church, that's what we do 24/7. What do you see when you drive up here? You see a cross outside. When you walk in here, you see the cross there. What do we preach? This, right? San Ramon Valley Bible Church has been around since 1978, close to 50 years ago. But we point people to Jesus here because we know he's the answer. So that every single person that walks through these doors, why do you guys gather? We gather because of him. Well, what do you want me to know, Rick Poonzo? Well, what I want you to know is if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I pray that you would get saved. That you'd realize that you went to the cross for your sin. And that he wants you to bow down before the Creator, the one who loves you, who created you in your mother's womb, who knows everything about you already, who's ready to forgive you. Amen. And wants you to accept him as your personal Lord and Savior so that you are a child of God. That's what we do at Santa Ana Bible Church. Until God takes us home, we point people to Jesus, but we also need to do it in our personal lives outside these doors. May we answer the call, brothers and sisters in Christ. And in all things, remember his word, remember his promises, go to godly people, listen to a Christian song, read your devotional books, whatever you need to do, remember how he has taken care of you so that we may have faith to be confident in our Lord Jesus Christ. Live a life as a confident Christian, not a defeated one. I have to admit, I was being defeated at work. It drove me nuts. But who am I? I'm a weak person without the Lord Jesus Christ. But God gave me this message and said, Rick, you can have confidence in me. You too can have confidence in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So remember, as we end today's message, do not look to the hills of this world, but look to the hills of heaven. Amen. Amen. Let's end in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we are always grateful that you always remind us to look to you, Lord. Lord, this world is, we talk about it all the time, it's a mess, Lord. And it always will be because this is not your world. But Lord, you are with us in this world, Lord Jesus. And we know that you use things in our lives. You allow the trials and the testings. Satan can't touch us unless you allow him. The ungodly can't touch us unless it's your part of your will that it happens in our life. You allow the work stresses and the financial stuff happen to teach us and to grow us. And we thank you for that, Lord, because it makes us be the Christian you want us to be. But Lord, we need to remember when you allow these things and these things happen, we need to focus our eyes on you. And then as Christians, Lord, we owe you everything. And so we need to be like an Elijah and point others to you. Help us live godly, clean, holy lives, a life that's desired to show people Christ. In our words and our action, you'll guide us, Lord. You'll give us the right words when we witness to people. So give us the desire to point people to you, Lord. And then also, Lord, always teach us your ways. Remind us to place our confidence in you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for this time, Lord. And as we leave today, Lord, we pray for those who are home that are sick that they would feel better so we can see them again soon. And then for those of us who are walking out these doors, protect us on the road as we go back and forth. And as we walk away, Lord, from today's message, may you just press it upon our heart, Lord. For your glory, for your praise, we love you. In your most precious name we pray. Amen.